This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وكشف الله به جل وعلا الغمة تركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, it is a fact and reality of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests and tries each and every one of us, and that the higher we increase ourselves in our iman and the closer we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us and tests us. And this is why we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us and told us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, He tries them. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the people who are tried the most are the messengers and the prophets, and then those who are highest in iman, and then likewise and so forth and so on. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if we study his seerah and we study our Islamic history, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greatly tested and tried. And he, like any other human being, at times would become upset, and at times he would need to be comforted and solaced. And then who would comfort him and solace him? The one who created him and sustained him, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, one of the greatest solaces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a surah so small that most of us recite it when we're tired and lazy. That when we want to get our salahs over with, we recite this surah. When we are not in the mood to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully, we recite this surah. Yet if we were to understand the great blessing behind this surah and the great effect that this surah had upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not recite it in such a state. Yet we would recite it when we want to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, this surah is none other than Surah Al-Kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these noble ayat that indeed we have granted you and given you al-kawthar. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْهَرْ. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice for Him. Indeed, the one who opposes you and the one who hates you, he is the one who is cut off and severed. SubhanAllah al-Azim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is
consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through all the hardships he faced with the Quraysh and all the other non-believers at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this surah. He says, indeed we have given you Al-Kawthar. Brothers and sisters, what is Al-Kawthar? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by his noble companions, and this is narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question, he said, Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise. It is whiter than milk. It is sweeter than honey. And its fragrance more beautiful than that of misk. In it are pearls which are the ornaments of drinking, so many that they are like the stars in the sky. And around this river are tents made out of pearls and corals, and houses made out of gold and silver. Brothers and sisters, this is the description that Allah's Messenger was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Al-Kawthar. And look at the beauty of this. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now which one of us would want to be deprived of Al-Kawthar? This is a question to ask. So now, this great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And if you return back to the books of tafsir, you see the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Sa'id ibn Jubayr, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them, great scholars of tafsir of this ummah, that they said that Al-Kawthar in this ayah, it is indeed a river in paradise, but rather it is also every single blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the risala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, meaning the messengership, from the tranquility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to bestow upon him, from the noble companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him. These are all part of Al-Kawthar. Because Al-Kawthar, linguistically, comes from kathura, meaning a plentifulness. And this plentifulness is a plentiness of all good. All great amounts of good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are included in this ayah. Now, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and makes sure he recognizes the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after this? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And pray to your Lord and sacrifice for him. Now brothers and sisters, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this great blessing that he has been granted, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrifice for him? Because it is in the praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the essence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's risala is seen. That the risala the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with was to alleviate all forms of idolatry and to get rid of and eliminate all forms of polytheism. This was the risala of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why he re-emphasized it here, that even though we have granted you all this good, do not forget the message that you were sent with. That you were sent to eliminate this idolatry, meaning the worshipping of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the directing of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not forget this. This is why you were sent. This is why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told of this. Other reasons why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told of this was to show the greatness of these acts. It is commonly said by the scholars of Islam that if Islam was to have a motto or a slogan, it would be seen in one of the last ayat of Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the people, that indeed my prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the very essence of our livelihood, that all aspects of our life should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is re-emphasizing the motto of Islam, if you would like to call it that. That every action that we do, from those actions of worship to those actions of our regularly livelihood, should be for none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, One of the main reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this or reveals this ayah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to increase the good. And this is a lesson for each and every one of us, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted all of us many, many blessings. He has granted us houses and cars. He has granted us our lives, our sight, the ability to breathe without having to think, our ability to eat calmly and peacefully, to be able to digest our food. These are all blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed the greatest of these blessings is none other than our Islam. But in order to maintain that blessing inside the blessing, in order to increase the goodness inside that blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ibrahim, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will increase you in those blessings. Right? That I will increase the good that is in those blessings. So every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows you with a blessing, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you some good, and you want to increase the khayr that is in it, know that you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does it mean to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be done in many ways. But the key aspects and the main ways that it can happen is through two things. One is verbally, meaning that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally, that we say Alhamdulillah, right? Or we say, Allah, I am grateful to you. This is how we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally, that we praise Him and we thank Him. And in actions, the way we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by using those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us for good things and a good means. And this is what we see in this ayah itself, that in the thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seen through the praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrificing for Him. Now a lot of us, we might not understand this great act of sacrificing. But at the time of the Arabs at that time, sacrificing was a very big thing. When they wanted to honor a person, they would sacrifice for them. Till this very day, when they want to honor one of their guests, they will take a sheep and slaughter it for him. And then they will place it, including the head in front of them, and this is considered an honoring of the guest. And likewise, when they want to honor their saints and their idols, they will do the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this honor and this sacrifice should be none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we see that in the final hajj, in the farewell pilgrimage of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He didn't sacrifice one camel, He didn't sacrifice two camels, He didn't sacrifice three camels. But Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentions in the hadith of Jabir that he sacrificed 63 camels. And that after he became wearisome and tired, he said, Ya Ali, continue the rest. So we see that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fall short in any way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing His gratitude. And again, this is a lesson for each and every one of us. And in this last ayah of this very short, yet noble, beautiful, and eloquent surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who oppose you and hate you, then indeed they are the ones who are severed and cut off of all good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in this surah explicitly, that anyone who opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and shows any form of hatred, then indeed he is the one that will be cut off. The scholars of Islam mention two specific reasons for the revelation of this surah. And this is found in Ibn Kathir. The first of them being that of the opinion of Ibn Abbas and other than him, it's explicitly from his students as well, that there was a man by the name of Al-Wa'il ibn Al-As. Afwan, Al-As ibn Wa'il. That there was a man by the name of Al-As ibn Wa'il. And he was from the enemies of Islam, from the harshest of opponents of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was mentioned in one of the gatherings of the Quraysh, and he used to be present, he used to say, how can you honor a man who has been cut off? How can you follow a man and praise a man who has been cut off and severed? And what he meant by this was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was granted daughters through which his lineage was continued. But every single son that the Prophet ﷺ was granted with passed away. This was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his desire. And in it was a great good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of and blessed this ummah with. And this is what he used to say. He used to say that the Prophet ﷺ has been cut off and he is the one who has been severed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Now in essence, if you look at it, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have not had any living sons who continued his progeny and genealogy, yet he is the most remembered person on this planet. That any man, no man is more praised than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the face of the earth. You would find the greatest of athletes, the smartest of people, include your Einsteins and your presidents and anyone else. But it is the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is raised and honored. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lived up to his prophet, lived up to his promise when he said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that indeed we have raised the remembrance of your honor. That indeed we have increased and preserved this for you. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we see till this day. That even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have not had those sons that continued on after him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still protected his honor and still increased his remembrance. Now as for this man, Al-As ibn Wa'il, most of you are probably hearing him for the first time. But in essence, you see that his genealogy and his progeny are more remembered than he was. Amr ibn Al-As, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his son, Abdullah ibn Amr, another great and illustrious companion, one of the greatest narrators of hadith, meaning that he mentioned and narrated the most hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are more remembered than this man, Al-As ibn Wa'il. And indeed, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He promises us again that those people who oppose Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will be the ones who are cut off and severed from all good. And before I end off this first khutbah of mine, Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions a hadith pertaining to Al-Kawthar again. And this is a very important hadith that we need to reflect and think about. And that is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day while sitting with his companions, slumber overcame him, meaning that he was very tired, and it was as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fallen asleep. So when the companions kept on looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they saw that when he arose, he woke with a great smile. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it that has made you smile? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a surah to me. And then he recited the ayat of Surah Al-Kawthar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inquired by the companions, Ya Rasulullah, you know, tell us more. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I was in Jannah and I was around this great river, and describing it with the description that I had mentioned previously. Yet a man from my ummah came forth, and the angels came and they prevented him from drinking. So I asked them, why have you prevented this man from drinking from this well, from this river, even though it is mine, it is for all the believers to drink from. So why have you prevented this man from drinking? And then the angels responded. They said, you do not know what this man innovated into the deen after you passed away. Meaning that this man, he introduced new ideologies, he introduced new things into the religion. Maybe trying to increase, you know, or trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might have had good intentions, but his action did otherwise. And this is something we need to reflect on, brothers and sisters, that any action that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or other than that, we should be trying to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't inform us and tell us about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to just know it for the sake of knowing, but rather He tells us about it so that we may follow it, and we may likewise become of those great exemplaries for those people who come after us. So we see that any act of worship that we want to bring forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and want Him to accept, it should have two main conditions to it. The first one, that of being of ikhlas, meaning that it is sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, being of al-mutaba'ah, or following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ وَتُوبَ لِلْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. brothers and sisters, we have seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the smallest of surahs, conveys the greatest of messages. And one of the greatest atrocities that the Muslims have seen in this 21st century is none other than which is the front news or the cover news of all the newspapers today. And that is how some of the people of our times think that they have become greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they think that they're able to do whatever they will and whatever they please and try to justify it under the name of freedom. They're like, we preserve freedom and we grant our citizens the right to express themselves any way they like, any way we, you know, they want to express themselves. So what they came about with was pictures or portraits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what they call caricatures, meaning cartoons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which they tried to demoralize and debase the honor and the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, brothers and sisters, it is not just the Muslims who revere the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recognize the great stance he had as a person and as a leader and as a politician and as a militant, but rather the non-Muslims recognize this as well. A lot of you may have heard that a book was compiled sometime during the 80s and the 90s about the 100 greatest personalities. Who was number one? It was none other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something they have come to understand, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only does he have a great station in Islam, but also throughout history, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted this to him, that he would be recognized for his greatness throughout time. And now, in order to go to extremes and show how free they really are, they go and portray and draw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the wickedest of fashions and manners. If you look at this, it should make you sick and disgusted and should enrage you with anger. One of the pictures explicitly, subhanallah al-azim, it shows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on top of a mountain coming down from Jannah. And he's with, there are people in front of him, and he's telling them, stop, stop, Jannah has run out of virgins. Subhanallah al-azim. They are not only mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but are mocking the basic creed of the Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the believers the holders of Jannah. They are making a mockery of this. Now, what is the Islamic stance to these people? Or what will happen to these people? Obviously, this type of thing is not new to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, was criticized before and was made fun of before. And this happened in one of the battles, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this scenario specifically in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, in the 65th ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ وَإِنْ نَعْفُوا أَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبُ طَائِفَةٍ بِأَنَّكُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, say, is it with Allah and His Messenger and His signs that you make a mockery? Indeed, you have disbelieved after you had brought iman. And even if we were to forgive a group of you, even if we were to forgive a group of you, we would punish the rest, for indeed you are criminals. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those people who make a mockery of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a mockery of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now obviously it is upon every single Muslim to do what he can to oppose this by educating the non-believers about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his greatness. And we should make sure that these type of atrocities do not take place in our localities, in our countries, in our regions. We need to make sure of this. These petitions need to be signed. And likewise, those countries that are propagating this ideology of freedom, even though it is more of an act of transgression, they need to be boycotted from their products. That if we are not in need, or if we can find substitutes for their products, we need to cut those products off and make our position known that we will not allow such heresies to take place in front of us. Obviously, in our times, we're brought up with the ideology to be passive about everything. That we should be very egotistical and just care about ourselves and not care about anything else. But this is not the stance of a Muslim. The Muslims are one body and one building, and at the head of them is Sayyidul Bashar, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the head of them, of this building, at the head of this stature is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you try to attack something at its head, you're attacking everything else. So this attack upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each and everyone needs to take personally. It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who said that none of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his wealth and his family and all of mankind. Then why is it that we find Muslims today who do not care about this? Why is it that when such things are mentioned in front of them, they just stay quiet? They're like, we don't want to say anything. We should remain quiet, we should be peaceful people. Brothers and sisters, there's a time to be peaceful and there's a time to defend your honor and your respect. If you let your honor and respect be antagonized and attacked all the time, people will just run over left, right and center. And this ummah has been asleep long enough. It is time we took a stance against those people who attack us. And obviously I'm not talking about strapping bombs around yourself and going out and attacking people. This is not what I'm talking about. But rather the greatest weapon a person can have is an education and an ability to express his beliefs and the ability to express what he stands for in a logical and reasonable manner. And this is what Islam propagates. And this is why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that the seeking of knowledge is incumbent upon every single person, whether he be male or female. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led through example that those companions who were around him, he trained them to be the best of leaders. He trained them to be the most honorable of men. You will not find the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali ever again, because they were from the disciples and companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had what you call prophetic nurturing, and you will never see it again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, this was particular to him. But this doesn't prevent us from trying to be like them. That we stand for Islam when we need to stand for Islam, and we're passive people when we need to be passive, when the time allows for it. So brothers and sisters, each and one of us needs to take a stance against this. For indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that which one of you or whoever amongst you sees an evil deed, then let him change it with his hand. And if he is unable to, then let him do it with his tongue. And if he is unable to, then let him hate it with his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. So now brothers and sisters, it is up to you to decide where you want to be in this hadith. Do you want to be at the top of it or at the bottom of it? The bottom of it being that you hate it in your heart. And if you're thinking, or if you feel inside yourself that, you know, I don't need to take a stance on this, or this only affects the Muslims in Europe, or it is only an attack of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to recheck your iman. You need to know that this is from the signs of hypocrisy, that you have no love, you have no respect, you have no what they call ghira for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning no will of protecting him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously this ghira is for all of the shrines of Islam, meaning that whether it be for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whether it be for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whether it be an attack at the Kaaba or any other shrines of Islam, we need to have this protectiveness for them, for this is from the signs of Iman. And I remind each and every one of you of a great command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us all with when He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر وإذا أردت فتنة لنا فاقبضنا إليك غير مفتونين يا رحمن يا رحيم. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك بأنهم قد كفر واستهزأوا بنبيك، فأرنا فيهم يوما أسودا وأرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك. اللهم احصيهم عددا واقتلهم بددا ولا تغادر منهم أحدا. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله. Strain the lines and fill the gaps, for indeed the straightening of the lines and the filling of the gaps is part of the perfection of the prayer. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خيرا وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.